Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's good, internet? It is Friday, February 21st, 2020, and you are listening to Waypoint Radio, episode 294. I'm your host, Austin Walker. I'm joined today by Kato and Gita here in Brooklyn.
Yo,
what up?
And Patrick Klepper coming to us from Chicago, or near Chicago, nearish to Chicago.
How are you wearing that? That's good.
You are wearing the, yeah, you're wearing your Bears jacket today, so.
You always look so cool in that jacket.
I ran into a Bears player at a Jimmy John's.
Did you?
The most Illinois sentence.
I was going to say, that is a fucking wild where you come straight from up, sentence.
Straight up ran into Robbie Gould, the old kicker for the Bears, good as gold. He was behind me.
Is that the doinker?
No, not the doinker. The guy who replaced he left and then the doinker came in his place. I was just ordering a sandwich, and then I like moved out of the way for the person behind me, and I did like the, huh? Oh, okay. And then, huh? And then realized we locked eyes very briefly. And
he was like, Patrick Klepper, games journalist?
Yeah, of course. Saw my jacket. I think was trying to process whether I was going to be weird or not.
Yeah.
Like he knew that like I knew, like I'd put it together.
Yeah.
And then it was like, what is this person going to do? And I noticed he was there with his kid. And I was like, what I'm going to do is I'm going to move out of the way and let you order your sandwich. And I'm not going to say shit to you
because
you're here with your kid. And that's what you should do to people who are out with their family.
Children.
But I will report that Robbie Gould is a rewards member, which I thought was interesting for someone that makes
really sweet.
Everyone needs points.
I guess you still need to be grounded, right?
Yeah.
Like even when you're making tens of millions of dollars, it's like,
you're a kicker.
Still get that free sandwich,
on
the seventh.
Yes, absolutely. You want to get excited about that free sandwich.
Listen, Patrick, I want to say two things to you. One, I am wearing my Bulls jacket today.
There you go.
Great.
Just saying, it's the vintage 90s logo. So it's not like you know.
The only time it was worth caring about that team is not now.
Absolutely.
So gotta live in the
we
past.
Got the
Chicago sports, live in the past. That's basically
that's
our
motto.
Yeah. God. And then two, when I used to work in an art gallery in the West Loop, I saw CM Punk go into this one vegan bakery like all of the time and get a sandwich.
Okay.
Then later when I worked at food service with at the RNC of Chicago, one of my coworkers said that he was like a busboy at that restaurant, and he came in, CM Punk came in every day and ordered the same sandwich and was really, really nice to waitstaff.
Weird, though. I mean, I feel like, I guess if you have a thing that works for you,
you
get
know,
that thing.
Sometimes vegans, they're like, we find a reasonably priced sandwich.
Sure.
And it's good. And it's good.
Yeah.
Consistently
yeah,
good.
Fair.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Speaking of things being consistently good, can I get 10 minutes on the clock to talk about politics?
Literally just 10 minutes.
Can I just 10 minutes?
All right, go.
Politics, 10 minutes.
I got to just say, Amy Klobuchar saying that you'd be able to end online sexism by nominating a woman for president made my soul fly out of my body last night.
Well, we did it.
I'm glad,
you know,
it got worse.
It didn't get, but that ain't it. I'm not saying we should not have a woman president. That's not what I'm saying. But the nomination isn't a cure.
No. We like to have historical precedent. It only happened four years ago.
Systemic issues don't get solved like that. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's why we call them systemic. God damn.
So yeah, yesterday was the debate.
I've
never seen a debate like that.
I loved it. I want every debate to look like that.
It was amazing.
Are you calling me dumb?
The only reason.
God.
Amy Klobuchar. I like feel such a kinship with her.
God.
She does
the
what
most
I always
that was the most revealing
to.
Line. I've watched most of the debates on like the Republican and Democratic side over like the last like, I don't know, 10, 15 years. I've never seen a line more revealing. It's like up there with like Christie getting Rubio to speak like a robot for about a minute, and then Amy Klobuchar saying, are you calling me dumb? Because basically like all debates are like other politicians setting up other politicians to look quote unquote dumb or like to reveal something about them. But there's always the polite pivot or like you move into your talking point or like it's never just talking like a real person would, which is to get indignant and be like, the fuck, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
people forget a name and I don't even like Amy Klobuchar that much.
No.
But this I was like, the- that's a very human response to a very strange bit of political theater. Which yes. is not normally how people respond in that moment.
This was the most heartbreaking, the worst person you know just made a great point
yeah.
debate
yeah.
that you could have yeah. in God. Terms of just like people so who I like, don't want to be president just drilling Mike Bloomberg, the Klobuchar, Pete, like back and forth, being the most actual argument I've seen on TV in my life in terms of yeah. like they were real, they were heated. Like, yeah. that
people
was some, like, catch me outside
mad.
Energy for real.
It was, like, funny to watch.
I've heard that relationship breakdown in between apartments
yes.
at 2 a.m. before.
Yes. Yeah. I've been in that relationship breaking down in apartments at 2 a.m. before.
Yeah.
That
was, like, that's basically a breakup that I had. Not at 2 a.m., but in my apartment.
Right. Are you trying to say I'm dumb is an argument I've had? Like, that's yeah. an argument. I've been like, no, that's not what I... Ah, fuck. I fucked up. Let me try to walk it back. Like, that's... more importantly, the reason I think that it was like a good debate is because it was extremely masks off. Like that speaks to the fact that they got into it that deep and like we're talking directly about how like all Pete does is recite talking points. Mm-hmm. He doesn't necessarily have anything underneath that feels like an undergirding ideology, vision, or set of plans or policies that could be actualized. Is that like once you get to that level, and this is across the board with everyone there, you can start having the real debate about, like, what is this party doing?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
the
One
fuck is this party?
I really appreciate about Amy Klobuchar, especially because I don't really agree with anything that she says on anything, and we have just very different political beliefs, is that she, like, clearly actually cares a lot about this country in a way that you can tell Pete Buttigieg does not. Like, you don't get that level of mad. She got so mad every single time Pete Buttigieg talked to her or even implied that she might, because she's played this game
you
before.
Think that comes from care about the country and not just like proximity to Pete Buttigieg? Because like we have a filter. We only see him
okay.
through screens.
Listen, I've never run for like class president or something.
Sure. Mm.
But if I did, I would be a nightmare monster exactly like
right.
Amy Klobuchar.
There's a degree of like...
Because if like someone came in and they didn't care,
right.
I would just be... So angry.
There's a degree
I wouldn't be
of
able
like,
to handle it.
Why are you even up here? You're not even part of this.
Yeah.
Right? Which is also what happened to Bloomberg to some degree.
Yeah.
Which we knew would happen and did happen. And I, you know, I have plenty of issues with Elizabeth Warren. Like I still, when I talk to my Indigenous friends, when I read stuff from Indigenous writers,
yeah.
the fact that she still has not actually addressed that in a way that is suitable or acceptable to those Indigenous folks. I'm not saying she hasn't said sorry. Like she's done what she thinks is enough, apparently, but that is not enough for the Indigenous folks whose work I've read. But when she drills into Mike Bloomberg the way that she did, I'm going to call that a win for yeah. my agenda.
I was also, you're also reminded yeah. why early yes. in the cycle she became someone that I was like, well, maybe.
That was 12 and years ago, Elizabeth Warren. Do you know what I mean? That
yeah.
was
right.
that
yes.
was the Elizabeth
yes.
Warren. That was like bulldog Elizabeth Warren, who I can still see serving a really strong purpose inside of a really progressive administration.
It's yeah. fucking wild that just before this debate, my wife was telling me about her mom's friends who were like, yeah, I think we're looking at Bloomberg. And I was like, who in their fucking right
Dude,
mind? They were like,
I said this last week.
They're like on Joe. They're like on Joe Biden. And the numbers dropped. They're like, maybe Pete. And then they're like, when Bloomberg came in, they jumped off Pete. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, but those
name
people exist.
Name
exactly.
Recognition is huge. And that's what advertising
and
is.
And so like, as much as, yeah, again, as much as like, I'm behind Bernie for this specific primary season. The fact that she like kept bringing up all that shit and like it felt like the right person to do it kind of from like
she spent years going after Wall Street. I mean,
right.
obviously after years of being a Republican in which she made certain decisions.
And also after being
like
the person to say like, yes, I'm a capitalist on the stage.
Yes,
that
of course.
Night.
Of course. Like, exactly.
It was
again,
just
there
the
was
way
a
that she questioned
different.
Him, the wording and the
yes.
persistence.
Yes.
It was like
the directness. Again, there
yes.
was no talking
it's
around it. It was
Sweet
no...
Sweet Jeff and Hella
Sweet
Jeff.
Bro and Hella Jeff.
I warned you about those stairs, bro.
I warned you, bro. bro.
And he just like keeps falling down the stairs. And his answers, oh, those women, some of them admitted that maybe they just didn't like a joke I told.
The joke bit.
Just audible groans from the audience.
Totally. Uh-huh. And that's the thing is, if you go back to previous debates, what you would have seen is someone would have said, oh, there's electability problems. Like, oh, you know, the Mayor Bloomberg, though, he has some skeletons in his closet. They wouldn't even say skeletons in the closet. They would just say that he has a troubled record.
He's
when it comes to exactly. But like, no, mask off. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Why should you not be on this stage? When Bernie says when Bernie says out loud, like, it was wild to me because
he was so pissed too.
He was so pissed. And when he was like, some of your billions, you know, maybe that the workers who made those deserve that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, put that back on workers having made that money for Mike Bloomberg, that Mike Bloomberg maybe didn't make it all himself. You know, I'm sure to the people in this room, it was like, yeah, obviously. But that like hit people some sort of way. Like, if you look on Twitter, you talk to people who watch that debate. It's like, wow, I didn't think someone would just say it. It's like, yeah, this is just true. You can just come over here where we believe that is true all the time. It's not a point to be made.
Yeah.
That bit was very good.
I feel like I was talking to people before this debate about they feel like Bernie's going to need not just Nevada, but also South Carolina, a decisive win in each. But every time I see these kinds of debates, these kinds of talks, and I look at the reaction on Twitter and I talk to people, you know, in my bodega, or people point out the sticker on my phone or whatever, I just feel like it's an inevitability. I can calm down. I mean, Steyer's out there doing 7-minute attack ads on Bloomberg now. You got two billionaires fighting.
Let them
fight. Maybe Steyer, as
cannibalism for the rich.
Who ran for president because he wanted to be friends with Bernie Sanders, can help calm that, because I know the one thing that my boyfriend's concerned about.
Can we do that?
I mean, where's that vice money? Are they going to give us hundreds of billions of dollars to fight Bloomberg?
That's another pot. We can't talk about that in the podcast.
God. All right. Well, where are we at on time? Are we past? Did you give us more than 10 minutes?
No. We've got a minute and 50.
All right. Any final thoughts on that debate last night?
I will be curious to see what Kata was alluding to, of the sort of like average confused voter who is just disgusted by Trump and doesn't reasonably know what to do and just wants like a sense of normalcy. The people attracted to a Biden, the people who have entertained a Bloomberg. I've had those conversations with my mom, and like, those people care, but they don't have the time or the energy to like sort through a lot of the ideological implications. And so they look towards like these safer things. It's just like, look, like, I want it to be good enough, and like, I don't have the time to figure out like the finer details. I'm not in that fight, and I'm just curious how it lands, because like, the Warren attacks mean less than Bloomberg's lack of a response, right? So it's like, Warren can get out there and shake her stick, but you know, someone like my mom or someone's maybe has already settled on how they feel or don't feel about Elizabeth Warren. It's more they're looking towards a Biden or a Bloomberg, and like, how do you respond to the attacks? Because it's a cipher for how are they going to respond to Trump. And I, you know, nothing about that. Like, Trump is going to be a lot uglier than anything that was on that stage, because those were articulate ideological attacks, as opposed to like, Trump will use the gross personal stuff that he is complicit in doing as well, and he'll throw it right at Bloomberg.
Right at him.
Mm-hmm. And there was nothing in Bloomberg's response that suggested, look, even if I don't believe with you ideologically, do I think you can throw a punch? And I don't know that anything, his smarmy-ass face suggested that he was ready to throw a punch.
The bit where he says, like, I can't just do my taxes in TurboTax. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, what a – you just read the room
millions
a little bit.
Of people – also, millions of people who are freelancers also can't just do their tax in TurboTax and are making, like, scraping together barely $30,000 a year.
Also, TurboTax is terrible and is propped up by a lobby that just – we should be able to just have the government do our taxes for us and we report the errors. What we do.
Honestly, if any candidate said that, if Yang was running on UBI and also the government does our taxes, I would have paid him 4 seconds more attention.
Oh, God. All right. That's going to do it for our politics minute. Let's talk about video games, at least
not
until the next politics thing. Zero politics.
Well, during that debate, in order to keep my blood pressure down, because shit was fucking wild, I started playing White Ocean Big Jacket.
Oh, wow, that's the opposite vibe.
Yeah, absolutely. I had two screens up. One was White Ocean Big Jacket. The other one was the debate. I turned the debate down at like in the middle, so I could just kind of hear a low rumbling and not really pay attention to
that. Was like the sound of the debate on the winds coming to you at the beach that you were hanging out at. Tell me about White Ocean Big Jacket.
That game is really great. Patrick wrote a review for it. When did that come? What is time? When did that go out?
I hit schedule for it to publish last Wednesday, and then immediately had influenza B and disappeared for the rest of the week.
Rough.
That's but I think I mentioned it on a podcast like 2 weeks ago, and then we ran out of time to like shout it out.
Yeah. So it's kind of a, I mean, it's like in between a walking sim and a visual novel, really, because of like what you're doing the most of, which is kind of going through this dialogue. Yeah, you read a lot, which is good.
I argued in my piece that I think it's part of like some of these games that are taking a lot of the elements of a very text heavy, like a lot of elements of visual novels, but presenting them in a different context.
Yeah,
because I think you could White Ocean Big Jacket could just be a static avatar with some dialogue that you're just kind of clicking through.
Right.
But it's presented in a world where you have some 3D avatars that you're like walking from one side of a campsite to the other and just hitting A. Like you're not mechanically doing much. It's just presenting the text in a more stylistic way that I think allows you to potentially a wider audience to get engaged in a story that it might not otherwise, because maybe they prejudge what a visual novel would be about by its presentation alone.
Totally. And I think the art does help a lot, too. It's a very cool looking, almost like if you snap it, you'd think it's 2D, but it's also 3D situation.
Yeah.
And also, I think the kind of what's the word I'm looking for? The way that they situate and decide when to stop the dialogue, because the way it happens is like you're in the world and whatever, and you look at a character and you hit the button, and you go into a dialogue screen, which is just, you can change it to different colors, but it's just black with like their face and then the text under them. So you're not seeing any sort of body language or anything happening during these scenes, but then at some point it stops and goes back, and a lot of times they will have changed positions from when you started the conversation. It's got this kind of very interesting, almost like comic panels or like a visual novel, frankly.
Right.
Like when the image shifts in a visual novel, to like kind of denote, you know, different moods happening, but it happens kind of more divorced from the dialogue, but in like in a way that felt very it was more about like, okay, here's a gap, and now they're kind of sitting with what happened in that earlier which at first is just kind of like interesting kind of structure to it, and then later on it becomes much more, as like some of these conversations get a little bit more serious, like really kind of hits home to like a lot of the emotions going on. To like set it up, the story is that there's these four people, two couples, right? Two older
One's trying to figure out if they're a couple.
Right. Well, no, they say they're dating, like, straight up, don't they?
Like, but, like, they're...
But
like,
they're, right. They're 13.
It's like when you say you're in middle school and you're dating, and it's like, the fuck does that mean?
Exactly. They are the two... Mort and Ben are 13-year-olds that are dating, and they're on a trip with Mord's uncle and aunt, right? I forget their names.
The cool aunt and uncle.
Yeah, who are in like their 30s, I think. And so it goes through the story of this camping trip, and it does this really great. It has this like the vibe of like when you're away from a regular sort of everyday routine, and then it gives people the space to explore things that they've been kind of bubbling, you know? Mm-hmm. It has that exact vibe of like, you know, at first it's like everything's fun, we're just kind of like enjoying our time here, and then people start to like, you know, as they're more comfortable with just being out here, talk to each other in a more serious
about
way than
stuff
you would have.
That has been on their minds all that time.
Totally.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm just curious, are there choices to make here? Is this like
nope.
Just delivering? Okay, cool.
I feel like there's a few, but I'm not actually sure if they make any difference. Only insofar as like you can choose certain orders to do things in.
And I don't think it actually manifestly impacts the the story. The story is the story. It's like a, you know, it's a story about like sort of like the little moments in a life that like add up that you might not look back, like in the moment you don't realize it was a big deal. Then you look back and go, oh wow, like, you know, all these little things that add up to sort of like create the person that you are. And, you know, even though you have these sort of like mid-30s childless adults, and that's sort of like an important part of right. their relationship and like how they've chosen to sort of like live out their partnership and into their 30s. And then these two kids, although they seem like they're in different places in life, the story does a really good job of sort of intersecting them in a way that's like, well, you know, how they think about things and how they've arrived at things is maybe not so different, even if one has quote unquote more life experience than the other.
Totally. The developer behind this made a couple of games that I really like and should shout out just because I don't know if people know their past stuff at all. They put out a game a few years ago that I actually wrote about for Giant Bomb called A Good Gardener, which is fantastic. It's short. It's $2 on itch.io. People should check that out for sure. And then packing up the rest of your stuff on the last day of your old apartment is free and is extremely good. And is the pitch for that is it's hot. It's a hot August 31st in Chicago. You've got both fans going on you. The bare mattress feels so cool on your back. A train rumbles by. At least you won't have to do this again for another year, and it will be fall soon. The playlist on your OG player repeats. I don't know anybody who has an OG player instead of an MP3 player. But shout outs to this character. Yeah.
That's like lossless like
yes,
format,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
On Brad Shoemaker's OG player.
Exactly. Both of those games are really good, and I need to make the time for Wide Ocean.
Well, what's the dev's name again?
The name of the studio is Turnfollow. Yeah. I'm not sure what the name of the person is. Because I'm a bad person. That's probably not true. So
you're
much.
Not right. a bad person.
Well,
sometimes you're forgetful, and
sometimes
that's okay.
I'm forgetful, and I'm okay.
Yeah,
and that's okay. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. Wide Ocean Big Jacket is also only like 90-ish minutes. It's a nice. I played it on a plane, start to finish, and I almost would recommend finishing it in one go as opposed to like picking away at it. I think it works really well as like a an episode in. It really feels like you've just dropped into an episode of the lives of these people as opposed to like. It feeling like some grand story. Like if they turned around tomorrow and said, actually, here's another 90 minutes with these people. Like I wouldn't be shocked.
Right.
And in fact, would love to see like more of what these folks are up to. But it's a really nice short experience. That's it's touching and delightful.
Carter Lodwick and Ian Ensley.
Cool.
Our turn follow.
Also wanted to give a quick shout out to the dialogue and the use of capitalization, which I thought was very good and funny. There's a lot of that. I've capitalized every word in this sentence for emphasis stuff that I think, I don't know. It's like written stuff that you don't, like these characters are supposed to be speaking, but you can still kind of get intonation out of that. That I don't know. I feel like a lot of places, a lot of stuff that's dialogue heavy doesn't really play with a lot what this did.
Yeah, if it's very much in the vein of a, you know, Night in the Woods and other games that feel written as though these people have existed online,
right.
without feeling like it's like in a bad way. It just feels like people understand the additional stylization,
right.
That we kind of use.
It's like
to communicate.
Online style guide versus meme references, like the two different types of online.
God,
it's a game that really loves to use big ass text, like. Like in Control, you know, when you show it to a spot and it's like, yo, big text, here's where you are. Like, Wide Ocean Big Jacket does that, except for like
Wide
Calming
Ocean.
Beach.
Yeah. Or like,
Mean
Teens.
Oh, man.
Did you talk to the Mean Teens the second time? Because I didn't talk to the Mean Teens the second time.
I stay away from Mean Teens in general.
I don't think so.
They were on the beach at
they
night.
They seem mean.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see them the second time.
No, I saw them. And then did something else, and they disappeared. Yeah.
Interesting. I think if you talk to them four times, then you end up getting an extra interlude at the end with them. I'm pretty sure that's how that works.
True.
Yeah.
Why don't you bring Big Jacket Remind?
Remind. Yeah, God. Ugh. We can't. You saw, there was a moment like two nights ago when they announced that Kingdom Hearts 3 came to Game Pass. I was like, oh, I could play it now. Like, no, stop it. No, you can't. You're not going to do that. Why?
No, you shouldn't.
That thought came into my mind. I was like, oh, I pay for Game Pass. I could get it.
Yeah.
No. No.
You should do it.
Bad. No, I shouldn't. That game, I don't want to play that game.
There's a code sitting in our codes box if you want to play all the Kingdom Hearts games on Xbox.
I'm good. I'm all right.
Every single
Congrats to that man. I don't know. God. Anyway.
Congrats to that man.
Anyone else playing anything they want to shout out?
What are video games?
What are video? I started playing the new game by the studio that did Mutineer Zero.
Oh yeah,
Which is for people who don't remember, like about I guess a year ago is when everyone played Mutineer Zero because they didn't play it when it first came out, which was like December. It was like December 2017.
I did.
Yeah, you played it.
I think
I played
the only
a little
person
bit of it.
Who did it, and then was just like, "Yo, everyone needs to play this."
Yeah, so I guess it came out December 2018, and then everyone played it in January and February 2019, and now that studio, the developer, the Bearded Ladies, has made a game that is that game again, but not that game again, called Corruption 2029. It is on the Epic Store. It's like $20, I want to say. Is that right, Kato?
That sounds right.
Can you look that up for me?
It should also be clear that like it was announced in a trailer. And it was like, yo, you play it tomorrow.
It's out.
I was like, wait, what?
What's the?
Yeah, $20, $19.99 on the Epic Store. It is, so for people who don't remember Mutineer Zero, this is the same type of thing, which is a tactical RPG or like a tactics game where you're controlling a very tight group of people, three characters. There's like a real-time component where you're like moving around. I'm playing with a controller. It's really, really playable with a controller in a way that's fantastic. I wish it was on Switch, even though I don't necessarily know that I want to finish it. It feels like such a great Switch game. But you control with a controller. You kind of move your group around with a left stick, and like your kind of three units move together all at once. There's a button to like drop them into stealth so that they'll be a little quieter. There's like kind of like an AoE around every unit and every enemy unit that's on a map that can like show you that shows like what they can hear or see. And so
because you can take them out before actually initiate. Like you can do mini fights before you actually get into
real
like
combat.
The big,
yes. Yeah. And so it's a lot of. Just like Mutineer Zero was, it's a lot of like finding the people you can draw away from the crowd using a distraction or who are by themselves, using your one person with a silenced weapon at the beginning of the game to like knock them out so that when you do get into the bigger fight. And I will say it does feel like in this game, getting into the big fight is more of a necessity than in Mutineer Zero. I felt like in Mutineer Zero, most of the fights for the first half of that game, you could really whittle down to like one last person. Whereas here,
oh, you could do some. You could really play with like the if you like kind of you could like finagle it where you were definitely taking out folks that like maybe you were probably supposed to be in that main fight. Like you'd walk into a combat arena, and it was clear the game had like a certain path that like you would walk around that you could snipe off. One, two, maybe three people if you had like skilled up someone that was like meant to be like I had a character that was like, yo, your main thing to do is like before an actual fight is to like focus on taking out these guys to make the main fight itself a little bit easier. And there were times where like, you know, I'd quick save, quick load and like, oh, if I could just get them just, you know, I'd attack. Which would set off everyone else, but I was like, "Oh, if I just like waited a half second longer and like boop, now I fire it and it didn't distract anybody," which is fine. Like I thoroughly enjoyed pushing the system as far as I like because you don't usually get to play that angle in games like XCOM. It's just like, hey, jump in, do your thing. The fight's the fight. Once you've fired the first shot, I really liked that. Even if I was kind of like exploiting the game a little bit, I enjoyed that part of it so much.
I'm honestly enjoying that part a lot, and like, yeah, really, I feel like I can get. Technically, in XCOM, you can kind of surround enemies or like really set up things if you're really careful. But most of the time, you're gonna run into a secondary pod. I feel like this, given the fact that you can walk around and see all the kind of like engagement areas, lets you kind of set up that ambush a lot in a much more satisfying way than I ever felt XCOM 2 ever did. So I'm like really enjoying that part of like, you know, going around picking off like the pods individually or like just like you were saying before, single people.
Right, because the other thing is you can totally get into a fight on one side of a map. So like, the game is divided up into maps,
yeah,
I should say, and they're set maps. Like,
and they're also all connected.
They are connected, which speaks to the heritage of this thing being, you know, the kind of lineage of it being a semi-sequel or a pseudo-successor or whatever, a spiritual successor to Mutant Year Zero. Because Mutant Year Zero was very much like you're going out into the world on these, like, explorations, on these, like it's like Stalker, right? Like, you're going out into the zone to try to find stuff and bring it back. And so in that game, it made lots of sense to be like, oh, wow, we have to go pretty far to go find this crashed airplane to try to rescue this person.
Right.
Here, it's way more just, like, drop into these maps, but sometimes you'll get a mission that says do something in
Also, the
in
characters
place
are really important.
B. That, like, is the other big
lore,
difference
story, the characters of New Zero. Like, I was often picking characters not because they made the most sense mechanically or gave me the best advantage, because, like, I just want this person to roll in my crew.
I,
like,
want this duck
this
to hang
what
out
feels
with me.
Right.
Right.
I really caught on.
I got
badly
put a funny hat on him.
I need to go,
like,
back.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. It's if you like
God, this no
at
hats
all,
in this game.
I feel like you're just getting like a flawed, compromised version of, like, the much better game.
There are things about
Mutant
this that
Zero.
I think are improvements or that are. So I should say, setting wise, this is a game that's like 2029. It's the near future, and the America has been so polarized that it finally split in two. There's the
United American People, the UAP.
Right, the UAP, and then what's the other one?
The National American something?
Confederacy? It's not the Confederacy. But it is. It
Committee?
It definitely feels like it's broken down on ideological lines.
Yes.
And I'm sure there's going to be a big third act twist that is like, they're both bad, actually.
They're setting it up. Like,
yeah, 100%. I mean, like, you were playing a commander who controls people's bodies like they're drones.
Yeah.
That is the premise of the game. Is that, like, soldiers for the UAP have reduced the military has reduced soldiers to units that you can just mind control. So, like, whatever, you're playing someone back in a drone HQ, you're safe. It is just like, it is like gritty future Call of Duty, like, aesthetic, right? It is like weird robot heads and cloaks and everything is grimy. And so that part is
like
very
a
much,
normie vision of the future.
Yeah, like very much like a USA original
game. Yeah. I'm getting the
You know what
now.
I mean?
Yeah,
like
the
yeah.
colony.
Yeah, they had
it's
a budget.
Like, it's like if XCOM, but everyone was playing those officers at the beginning of XCOM.
All the way through. Yes, exactly. Like with the, you know, it's not a cartoonish looking game. Going, and there's some beautiful lighting. I want to, like, there. It has a look. It's going for the thing it's going for, and there are moments where it does look really pretty. There's very much like you're stomping through Americana. Old motels that have neon signs, and the motel has been bombed through. Like, there is some stuff there that works.
Yeah.
That just doesn't go as far or as flavorful as Mutant Year Zero did. But the stuff that is new is all pretty cool. I think that they've really freed up the way the augment system works. In Mutant Year Zero, you have to make some pretty permanent choices around skill tree stuff and around abilities and, like, do you want A or B? In this, you unlock those abilities and you can swap them between characters between missions.
So, like the thing, like the augmented jump, that would be something that you would
That's
unlock on
a specific skill tree option or mutation in Mutant Year Zero.
Gotcha.
Where you're like, oh, this guy has wings now or whatever.
Right.
In this, instead, it's just an item that you equip to somebody for the length of a mission,
which is, I don't like that as
well,
much.
Well, the thing that ends up being cool is you end up unlocking new stuff as you go, and you realize, like, oh, wow, I can build this whole other type of character because now I have this thing from 3 hours later. I'm with you that it's not as flavorful as my duck grew cool back wings that can fly around.
You have more customization. I get that. Like, so you, like, you can scope out, like, oh, for this fight, you can line up the, you know, your materia slots.
But you want the boar man to be able to get, like, whatever armor as he charges and not just, I slotted the armor implant for this mission.
Because it feels intrinsic to the character. Like, the skills that the skill trees that apply to the characters often felt organically, I mean, weird in many cases, but, like, organic to the characters themselves as opposed to just every character can get whatever, and it's just where you decide to go down that skill tree. It felt like very much it was born out of the type of character they were in the world.
Whereas
give a lot of flavor. Flavor is what defined Mutant Year Zero.
Yeah.
Right. I was going to say that the characters are not, they're very, like, just your standard, these are your pawns. They're not even to the, like, slightly higher of XCOM, like, You can edit them.
You can
them
name
and
them.
People.
And yeah, no.
Like you can
not
still
at all.
Name them, but that's it. That's
I didn't
all you can
I
do.
I didn't even know you could name
yeah,
them.
Yeah, right.
Damn. The abilities here are really cool. I think like a lot of them are just Mutant Year Zero things, but turned up a lot in terms of presentation. That augmented jump is rad. You jump really far.
Yeah.
And you do a very good
it
crunchy land.
Saved my ass a few times.
You can land into people and it knocks them back, which will pull them out of cover, which is really fun.
My favorite moment so far has been jumping through a roof onto the same roof.
Nice.
Hitting someone and knocking them off the roof to kill them from the fall damage.
Oh, that's perfect.
Which was just
that's
mwah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Did you unlock the sniper rifle yet? The actual like
I just did last
time.
I haven't
really
used
good.
It yet though.
It can shoot through walls.
Fuck.
So you get yeah, like that's a dope moment and it does like a good XCOM style slow motion thing. So if you have someone
sniper rifle was so like in Mutant Year Zero, like if you just I eventually just invested into sniper characters and it just I mean I still enjoyed like the last like 4 or 5 hours of the game, but it basically was a cakewalk of just like ding 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 ding.
So it still gives you that it's nice, you know, it's a nice thing. The thing that's weird to me is just like, or it's not weird, it's just why is this game out? What because they're making a sequel to Mutant Year Zero Eden's Road or whatever that game was called, right? Road to Eden.
Yeah.
This When I watched like a dev video of them showing the game off a few days before I started playing it, and they were very clear, like they're like, oh yeah, we're trying some new things after Mutant. Here's like an evolution of this ability. Here's da 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 da. It's like it's not like they're pretending that this isn't spiritually in the same space of what they're doing. It's just like kind of interesting.
You brought up something.
I wonder if it's just them saying, "Oh, go ahead."
I was going to say you. I forget who exactly brought this up, but in the Discord said that they didn't necessarily have the IP for the second game immediately after?
I guess. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the situation is. Mutant is the name of a Swedish tabletop role-playing game. Mutant Year Zero was the most recent version of it that was published a few years ago. It's been in publication in some variation for 40 years.
Damn.
Since the mid-80s. So 34 years now, I want to say. Or 35 years now. So it's like, it's been around. I guess it's possible that they like didn't immediately get that deal and spun this up,
right?
Because they were like,
"This
we
is
gotta
the
do
thing
something.
We'll do in the meantime." Or
yeah,
if we never get the sequel, and then they got the sequel, and we're like,
take this more as like an experiment. That's like, hey, we did a couple of things, see how people respond, and then that just feeds into whatever you know. That game is. You know, that sequel would be, they did a big DLC that I didn't get a chance to play for Mutant Year Zero, but they were working on that game up until, you know, like the middle of last year. So
and it's
any
an
sequel
epic
is
release,
pretty early on.
Which I hadn't thought about. I mean, I bet that release was subsidized in some way.
Right.
Where like, yeah, fuck it, let's do it. Let's keep the money coming in. Yeah. We'll experiment a little bit. We'll pop this on Epic exclusively for a little bit. And then we'll see what's what, you know? So yeah, it's there. It's $20.
It's cool.
Again, I feel like it would be really good on Switch. Did Mutant Year Zero ever come out on Switch?
Did it?
It did.
That's a great. That feels like a good place. Excuse me. A good place.
It definitely did. And yeah, it would be.
It's on
it would
Game
be perfect
Pass,
for that.
Right?
There's also
yes.
I saw some rumors that ratings listings that XCOM. You know, it sounds like that's going to come
to Switch.
Switch, which would be. Cool. I never played that expansion. You know,
You should play that expansion.
Yeah.
I miss Tactical Tuesdays. Yeah. It is what it is, but I miss Tactical
That's the big
Tuesdays.
Thing right now is like, I haven't played an XCOM in a minute, so this is really hitting
scratching
that
itch.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Anyone play anything else, or should we go to break? Any other shout outs?
One last thing I want to shout out is when I was sick, I was too sick to actually do much of anything, and then I started to recover. I was trying to figure out something to play, and I had realized I'd never touched any of the Shovel Knight expansion work that had been done after that original base game came out a number of years back, which I liked quite a bit. I guess in my mind, I just thought that these were just, you know, like, oh, it's just another character you can play and you just kind of run through the levels, not quite realizing that actually the reason that team has not gone on to make another game is because they already did go on to make other games. They just called them Shovel Knight expansions,
right?
In which every single one of the Plague Knight, the first one, runs through a bunch of similar stages that were in the original Shovel Knight. But the other two expansions are just brand new, full fledged 8 to 10 hour games, and I just had no idea like this sheer scope and ambition of what they had promised fans, which, like, let's be clear, like that was free to like most people that, like, you know, backed the Kickstarter and and things like that that Shovel Knight originally came out of. So they've, for a lot of people, just been making full on free game content add-ons for like 4 years. It's just, wow. I had no idea how much time they were truly putting into these. And so I played Plague Knight, which I liked well enough. Like, the big difference there is that you're playing this alchemist, and instead of bouncing around from object to object where you're sort of like balancing the physics of the character as you're moving around the space, this one's way more about like all these different potions that do different things. Like, maybe it creates a blast, maybe it creates sparks of electricity, maybe you can change the fuse to be immediate a couple seconds later, to be a timed one. You can you just have like dozens of different combinations of attacks that you can use to do all sorts of different things when you're running around. And it's just really impressive. If somehow you, like me, just got it stuck in your head that it was just a couple of extra characters, I'd recommend going back and taking another look at the collection, the treasure something something that they put out not that long ago, sometime last year, I think, is it's really good, and it's well worth a look.
Nice.
Cool. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will finally dig in to that Animal Crossing Direct that I think has some people buzzing. It sounds like a buzz. It sounds like a excitement is in the air.
We're going to feel very posy in a second.
Also, Patrick's leaving because Patrick hates Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing. That's I have come to accept that it is not a series for me. I'm good with doing the dishes in my house. I don't need to do them in a video game.
So you don't do dishes. I don't understand. Yeah, really. It's not
you
even a thing.
You gotta decorate a little house.
You gotta decorate a little house.
You gotta be friends with
I got a house. Animals. I'm good. I barely put up the posters up there. Yeah. That wasn't a humble brag on a house. That was I don't put up the posters in my house.
Mr. Patrick, I have a house. Clapping. Wow. Okay, right, too good for Animal Crossing.
I can't do my taxes in TurboTax.
I can't, actually.
They're a mess. I get it.
I choose not to, but I could.
God. All right, let's take a break. We'll come right back. Patrick, thank you for joining us. People can find Patrick at Patrick Klepek on Twitter. Do you want to shout anything out on the site before you go? Anything you want to point people to read?
Who let Rob write a big piece about Dark Forces? This is long. When I get sick and then 25 Xander Star Wars Dark Forces a Forgotten Gem? I'm not sure it was forgotten, Rob, but okay.
Wow.
He's not even here to defend himself.
That game was cool.
Patrick's been so spicy this whole pod. I love it. I do love it. I like spicy Patrick.
Jedi Knight's better, but Dark Forces is
good. Yeah, agreed.
Is good. Yeah.
All right, go read that. Okay. All right. That sounds good.
Go read that, I guess.
I guess. Lord.
Bye.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, we're back, and there's a camera looking at us, and I'm turning it off. There you go. Yeah. Thank
good.
You, Kato.
Good.
Bye. Animal Crossing. New Horizons?
I'm freaking
Horizons.
Out.
Horizons.
I'm freaking out.
So I watched this on a phone, so I didn't get the full feeling. So tell me, okay, there was a direct today.
There was.
Okay, before we get into the direct, can I tell you the thing that happened?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which was, I woke up early for the direct unintentionally. Like, my brain was just like, bzz, time to watch the direct. And I was like, no, don't do that. I need more sleep before we have to do a podcast. I have to do a podcast.
The little microchip you got in your brain.
Yeah, the microchip in my brain. Was like, go back to bed, actually. Sorry, I wanted to let you have the option. I was like, I'm going back to bed. This is like early. This is like not early for life, but for me on a day when I have to be here until 11, it was early. And then I had that thing where you ever fall asleep, but you're kind of like half awake and you have a dream, but the dream feels like it's reality.
Yes.
And I was I looked at my phone at one point, saw that you were like very excited because I saw the Discord thing. And then my dream brain filled in fake messages from Kata.
What?
That were like... So it was one of those things where I only had three messages and my brain had to... My brain only gave me... Dream brain gave me... Real brain gave me one real message from Gita.
Yes.
That was like... Very excited. I forget the exact message, but yeah,
I was just trying to express my excitement.
Absolutely. Then dream brain, there's three brains here. Real brain, real message. Animal Crossing looks good.
Yeah.
Dream brain gave me two more messages. The first one was, I can't believe they picked Piccolo. And the next one was, and Vegeta is a Mii fighter. And so third brain... Which is real brain again, but it's real brain trying to understand the dream brain messages and like kind of interpolate them into a reality. It was like, I guess they did an Animal Crossing direct, and at the end there was a Smash update, and they announced Piccolo from Dragon Ball Z as a playable character.
There was a Dragon Ball FighterZ update this morning.
Okay, well that wasn't it. Maybe my chip. But I dreamt Piccolo was added to Smash. They put Piccolo in Smash.
Oh my fucking god!
They finally put a black character in Smash.
Wait, Ganondorf's in there.
Yeah, Ganondorf is there. You're right. Sorry. Apologies to Ganondorf. And is there anybody else? No.
No.
I think it's just Ganondorf.
Damn. We're fucking trying out here. I want to claim Meta Knight, but I can't really. It's like. He doesn't speak enough. I need to catch
Rise. I know some dudes like that.
Right? I know some dudes like Meta Knight.
Yeah.
And then I dreamt that, like, oh, Vegeta was a Mii fighter. Goku was a Mii fighter. They didn't get the full treatment. Right. Only Piccolo did.
I would love that if that was real.
People would lose it.
Yeah. I would love watching people lose their mind. Not Goku.
You know what? Goku might be too strong. For Smash, honestly. I know there's goddesses in Smash and shit.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, the real direct was just about Animal Crossing.
It was just about Animal
Crossing. No Piccolo? I was going to make sure. Piccolo. I was looking at the phone.
No Dragon Ball Z, no Doom Guy. Just straight pleasantness and calm injected directly into my veins.
Pleasantness is straight? Is that?
No, it's also some homoerotic.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah, we're queering being pleasant right now.
Okay, wow. Queering the pleasant.
We're going to queer this desert island.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so new Animal Crossing.
New Horizons.
This one takes place on a deserted island.
Mm-hmm. It's out in March. So we knew some of the stuff already.
Yeah, some big highlights for me, though, is one, there's going to be new fossils and new bugs, and therefore there's a new design for the museum, and it looks absolutely gorgeous. There's like a fountain. Blathers must be so happy. there's also I've been thinking about this for a long time, because have you ever had this experience in Animal Crossing where you would really like for the bridge in your town to just not fucking be where it is?
Mm-hmm.
And I loved in New Leaf how you could change the location or build a second bridge.
Sure.
This one, the shovel can just create more land.
Yeah.
Damn.
And that makes me feel...
We Minecraft now.
Nuts.
So that to me felt like the big through line for this whole
direct. Can adjust the terrain. You can not only create new land, you can like dig through like cliffs and stuff and like make another path down to the beach. Mm. I remember having this one really annoying town where the bridge across the river was on the far left-hand side and then the ramp down to the beach was on the far right-hand side. I did that opposite in the studio because I don't know the difference between right and left. But
I gotta do this.
Yeah.
I was doing stage right and stage left,
so you guys understand before we do the play version of my Animal Crossing town. And I just remember thinking this would be so much easier if there was just a way to get down the stair, like to the beach on the opposite side.
Right.
Now it's no problem. You can make your own ramp now.
Yeah. And it's also, when I say it kind of feels like a through line, it's also you place houses for all of tents and houses for all the NPCs.
Yeah.
You are the one who like invites new people to town.
Yep.
There's a lot more focus on like you being in charge in not. not even diegetically, but also diegetically, like, but just
you,
like...
When you get to town, the first furniture you'll be building, or to the island, is furniture you make.
You make that furniture, you customize it, you design it.
And the only reason to buy furniture, there will be furniture that you can't craft, but most furniture, it seemed like, or a lot of furniture, it seemed like,
was
craftable.
There's a lot of
craftable.
DIY stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of DIY stuff. There's, I mean, it fits with the level of character customization that we're finally seeing.
That we're finally getting, right. Even that is in line with this, right? Like, this feels like, and I'm actually a little torn on not on the character customization.
Yeah, that shit rules. Did you see that guy's face?
Yeah, I saw that guy's face.
Yo, it was so tight. Good.
I'm very excited about it.
Who is his barber?
I felt so good seeing that. That made my heart
It's so
just
good that, like,
grow.
Japanese development companies, Nintendo especially, do understand black hairstyles
pay attention.
When they're a fade.
Right. That's it.
Every fade in every, like, Japanese RPG is perfect.
Yeah, true. They just need to add AirPods and wave caps, and we good. The thing for me is, so I'm excited about this game. I'm going to love this game. I know I am. I'm going to have a good time. This is just like one of those things where I know I'm in my feelings on some weird Austin Walker shit.
Okay. Mm.
The thing I like about Animal Crossing, one of the things I like about Animal Crossing is coming to a new place that doesn't really give a fuck about me, and that I have to find my own, like, niche there. I have to develop relationships, and all this is still going to be there. I know this is true, but I like the feeling of being like, why the fuck did they put the bridge there? I'm gonna move that bridge. Well, I wish I could just get over here. And I think that they're, I understand all of the quality of life reasons why they want to give us those tools to fix those things.
Yeah.
But I kind of, the fantasy for me has always been the new kid on the block who shows up.
Yeah.
Who doesn't have connections yet. Mm-hmm. There's already people here in a community here. I'm trying to figure out where my place is in it. There's already, when I go to the annual fishing tournament, mm-hmm. In my mind, it's the 37th annual fishing tournament. Right. It's not the first annual tournament. I'm just here.
Yeah.
And I think you can do, like, the deep read here. This game that is like, we're going to an island and slowly building it into a town. You can do, like, the deep colonialism read on it, but that is not even my gut response is just, the fantasy for me is a little different.
The fantasy of Animal Crossing, and I think that the developers of Animal Crossing talked about this when they initially released the GameCube game, is that you are going to a secluded forest town, and someone that already exists, where the pace of life is just different from it is in the city.
Right. Yes.
And that is a vibe that I don't feel like we'll get until you have a reasonable amount of other people joining you on the island.
And that it does seem like, I will say, like, that was the structure of this direct was the first 15 minutes was like, hey, you're basically on a deserted island and you got to figure out how to deal with shit. We have some resources for you.
It does.
We're
going
to teach you how to,
like,
build stuff, et cetera. But eventually people are going to show up, and then shops are going to show up, and then
you will have the classic Animal Crossing experience first, but you get some time to figure out how you want the island to be, which, as a person who likes game, like, I went back and played a whole bunch of Minecraft this year. Playing that game after not having played it since 2012 is incredible. They've added so much stuff that puts the experience just directly in your control, and so many new things to discover. This feels like an Animal Crossing that is reacting to a post-Minecraft world, but also just a post, like, the prevalence of games where you do have to craft things and build things from scratch. It feels like it's trying 100%. To fit into that sphere, not replace them, but complement them. To show Animal Crossing fans, or people who are not familiar with Animal Crossing, that this isn't all too dissimilar from your Dragon Quest Builders, from your Minecrafts, or even from some aspects of Fortnite.
Right.
You know, where you it is up to you to make things to be in the way that you want them to be. You know, if you want a sniper tower in Fortnite.
There's an island. There's 100 villagers. Yeah. They're all dropping.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Isabel drives the bus.
Isabel drives. Oh, man. You know what? Man. Say thanks to the bus driver. Say thanks to Isabel.
Just, you got to be nice to Isabel.
Be nice to Isabel. I'm so glad Isabel is back.
I understand now the feeling I get when I look at Isabel is the same exact feeling when I look at my cat. I, like, didn't know that I could love my cat in the way that I do, but it's the same feeling when I think about, like, if Isabel wasn't in this game, I would feel really fucked up about it.
Same.
This was so long not showing her, too. I was like, where is she? Where's she at?
Where's she doing?
They know that we love her.
Let Isabel come to an island. Let Isabel have a vacation, honestly.
Please. Isabel's working on her vacation, though.
Right.
She is.
She did set up, like, next to Tom Nook. So in this one, I want to make sure I'm clear on this. You show up with a tent. You don't even get a house until decide to go to Tom Nook and be like, yo, hook me up with a house.
Everyone says Tom Nook's not an oligarch, but I'm just kidding.
Well, I think it's actually super funny because I think the part of the dialogue, part of the discourse around Tom Nook in the last few years, since there's been a back and forth about whether or not Tom Nook
is a lone predator.
Is a lone predator or not. One of the things that's interesting, I think, is in the, if you take in the last, the history of Animal Crossing, the kind of popular understanding of capitalism has changed so much that I think you can go back and forth on this question about Tom Nook's morality, because I think you have this kind of like 101 relationship with him where you're like, yo, fuck that dude.
Yeah.
I owe him money. That guy fucking sucks. You know, kill all landlords. Then you get the second step where you're like, wait a second, the loans he offers are actually way better than everything else. Then you get the third step, and it's like, well, I'm still actually
kill all landlords.
Kill all landlords. And then, but then I think now there's a degree to which you see him, for me watching this video, where he isn't involved in financial markets.
No.
Right? There is like a paleoconservative version that fantasy in this character who is like, this whole game is like extremely primitivism. Like, listen, man, we could just go to the woods and build shit. Except this motherfucker shows up and is like, why can't I just build a house? Where's he spending them bells?
Yeah. Okay.
So not even
the
bells.
Thing about
what is it that you owe him?
This.
Miles.
Oh, yeah.
You owe him miles?
So here's
Nook
the thing.
Miles. Here's motherfucker's thing about, making his own currency.
Wait
over
a second.
Here.
There's company script now?
Yes.
I didn't realize that you bought the house in Nook Miles.
Watching this is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. You buy the house in your airplane.
I can't
airplane
give
miles.
Him bells? Can no. I trade bells into
the house? You have to just complete specific tasks, specific kinds
right.
of tasks
like
to earn the miles. Yeah. You basically, they're taking the thing from that flea market that they added to New Leaf.
Right.
Where they added all the amiibo cards. So taking that and then creating a secondary currency. And just
I don't mind
it
the
into
secondary
the
currency stuff,
but it's just to pay off Tom Nook.
Well, no, because there is the Nook store that or like the there's like an ATM set up for Miles where you can get like
stuff with
usability
it.
Thing. Yeah. You can get like customization stuff. You can get a lot of stuff. But one of the things that they did show early on in that video was a tool wheel. Like you just hold a button and all your tools show up, and that cost 800 Nook miles. Like motherfucker. How are you going to take, like, accessibility? How are you going to take, like, just usability shit?
Yeah. So here's the thing for me about Tom Nook is that I still think that, like, through any understanding of capitalism and commerce, this guy's just it's a fucking predator. In every single game, he has tricked you into contracts without telling you the terms.
Right.
And yes, he gives you...
That is 100% true.
Yeah. He like he does give you infinite time, no interest, blah, 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 but you're still on the hook for like 300,000 bells.
It's a lot of bells.
That's a lot of bells.
That's
and
a
then,
lot of linen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like... It's a lot of flowers planted and sold.
Yes.
That is a lot of fish caught and not donated
a
to the museum.
A lot of bugs.
A lot of hoping that
right.
this
I didn't even
fossil
put, I even...
was a repeat.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah, before you can even, you know, customize your house at all. Well, you can, but, you know, before you can
before
justify
you little...
spending the
yes.
money. Yeah. So in,
so,
this,
but in this one, you get a tent.
You get a tent. You don't. So it's a vacation package, he tells you.
Yeah.
No return flight on that package, okay? He doesn't give you
so.
Anything once you get there. You get a fucking
tent.
You gotta feed yourself. You gotta clothe yourself. You gotta make your furniture yourself. And it's in a proprietary currency.
Wait, what did you pay? Did you pay to get on this flight to begin with?
You took
with?
A loan on miles, I guess.
I guess. Is this whole scheme like a
this
Mayflower
like a
fucking
scheme.
Yeah? Like what's happening here?
It's like a bad timeshare.
Yeah, this shit happened.
This is like some Fire Festival levels.
It is. It's Fire Festival. It's if you
100 days
up,
into the game, Usher shows up.
God, there's if you look at like the history of capitalism, many of the first companies were these like exploration companies, which are like colonization and trade companies,
yeah.
right? Mm. Where what would happen is someone would front a lot of money to be like, hey, we're going to figure out the passageway to get to, you know, like Eastern Russia from the North Atlantic, the Western North Atlantic, and like go up and around through the Arctic. You and 80 people, you know, you go do this, and then 80 people die on the way. But if you survive, hey, you figured out this trade route, and then you build a little company town there. And this is obviously what eventually develops into things like the East India Company and blah blah blah
blah.
And ends up being brown people getting the boot on the back of their neck.
Yeah.
And But the what you don't hear about often is that many of those people just died because some terrible leader led them into like the iced wastes and didn't. And we're like, well, we'll just figure it out on the way. We'll just figure it out. This happened also in like Canada. People who are like trying to find new pathways, quote unquote, which is like walk into the woods for months, spending money until their entire crew died. And I think Tom Nook is just trying to do that.
Yep.
Tom Nook was sitting in his office in the town from New Leaf. Whatever you named your town, and was like, I found an island I could buy on the cheap, but I would need to turn it into a new place.
Do you think he spent any money on that island?
Yeah, he had to have, right?
Yeah, nah.
I think this is
I was gonna say he like fucking found an island. Like,
he found
hell
an
yeah,
island.
Maybe. Hell yeah, I'm setting
no
up shop.
Like
there's nothing there.
You don't think there was an Uncut Gems quality here where he's like, I worked for this island for 18 months. You don't know how many favors I had to call in. Yeah, I'm not saying he paid real money for
You've
it.
You've just revolutionized my view
of Tom Nook.
Nook.
This is how I win.
KG.
Please.
Kevin Garnett is going to be the name of my character now.
There you go.
Thank you.
Finally, they put black people in Animal Crossing so we can bring KG to
What if I just tell all my town horizons. Garnett? I think that'll
that
be good.
Be, that's good. That's a good name. It's cute. That's a cute name.
A little wink.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
I feel
so,
like,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's absolutely an aspect of settler colonialism in here, even if there's like no like indigenous peoples. I do think it's funny
fantasy
that, like,
more than the right. That's the thing.
You know, it's nice to be able to have the idea of exploration, the thing that like settler colonialism sold us as an appealing fantasy.
They did not sell it to us.
Yeah,
they sold it to white people and said, "Did you know there are places where there aren't people?"
Yeah,
and people were like, "What about like no, those aren't people. Don't worry about them.
But, like,
those aren't people."
As a child, didn't you buy into that fantasy
for a moment? Right.
I like you learn. It's so disappointing when you learn what actually happened, which is like murder and the spread of disease and rape and pillaging.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Like, everybody wants a chance to discover
the generational theft of wealth, the generational, of course, the destruction
just, like,
of culture.
Literally all of the problems in the world, honestly.
Well, and I think that there is, I do think that there is a second sub-fantasy happening here. And one, just to be clear, yes, I absolutely, like, again, we talked about this a few, like, a month or two ago with Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah.
It's like, that is a game that gave us this like, really purified, idealized version of exploration.
Yes.
And colonialism without actually using those, like, by saying, like, we didn't break any rules. Like, we did it the right
Prime
way.
Prime directive.
This is the good way of doing
they
it.
They break every fucking episode.
It's like, well, that's a fantasy that doesn't actually work that way. It's never historically worked that way. But in this case, I think there's a second fantasy, too, that is implicit. Like, I mean, there's the one that we always talk about, which is there's the two that we always talk about, which is what you said already. The go to a nice little town that where you don't like have to feel bad and everything's like a little different than your regular life and feels just like a little calmer. The second thing is, of course, direct action, not direct action. That's a different type of thing. It's a different fantasy I have is that we would actually stand up and take some direct action.
At the end of the game, you and the villagers all rise up, and
it's our town. Get out of here. Tom Nook can stay. Tom Nook can also have a tent.
Listen, but we're going to go back to a barter and trade system.
At least, listen, I just, maybe we even figure out a way to use the point system in a different way. I think people should, maybe, UBI for points.
For Nook miles.
We've talked about the problems with UBI. You don't need to check me on that. The second fantasy is often about progress and like putting in the work, right? Hey, if I work on something, I'm going to see results. Janine Hawkins, who is a games writer, used to be a critic, always called this like the make work fantasy, where it's just like, hey, this is what's in Stardew Valley. This is what's in, you know, Rune Factory, Harvest Moon, even The Sims to some degree, where you're like, I can just play it. I can just do the work and get the outcome because the real life does not work like that, it turns out. Often you don't just do the work and then you win. You know?
It's the dream of capitalism versus the reality of capitalism.
Yes.
In The Sims, you can retire once you hit the elder stage and you're paid a pension.
Right.
Right.
You're
what
totally
a
right.
Fantasy.
What a beautiful world.
And most Sims only have the same career for their entire life.
They have one career.
You pick it. You just pick a career and get a job automatically.
You look at a newspaper and you go, I want to do this. And then you just linearly go through progress.
They hire you no experience.
Damn.
Yeah. It's really, I'm glad that they added college loans with their college expansion.
Oh, that's good.
That is good. But it's like most of the game is just this like, the idea that you can buy a plot of land and then just build a home there, your perfect home, and that you'll always have enough money to support your family. Like, even if things are, like, dire, you'll still be able to scrape together the funds you need to feed everybody. Or, you know, the idea that it's just accessible, like to be able to move somewhere where you can have a house and not have to worry about
house
rent, to own, not rent.
Yes.
And
that's your house.
It's your house. And it's a house for generations. When you die, you just keep playing the same
in
the same house. And
that's
like,
true.
Imagine if any of those things were true for the majority of Americans.
It would be great.
Yeah.
The third fantasy I just want to shout out really quick that seems to be underlying some of this, or like that I remembered this fantasy. I recall conversations as I was watching this, which is how often in 2020 do you have a conversation with a friend after some like shitty climate news hits where you're like, we should just fucking move to Montana and start a farm. We should just leave. Like, we should just figure out how to live off the grid.
Yep.
And obviously there is like the shitty prepper, you know, like I said before, the kind of the version of it that is not just, that's not left anarchism, but primitive
where
stuff.
It's like they pointedly won't answer the question of what happens when my glasses break.
What happens when my glasses break? What happens when there is a sexual assault here?
What if I can't get my medications?
Exactly. Totally. Exactly.
Someone becomes physically disabled temporarily or permanently?
What is your plan for actual accessibility? Is there going to be some sort of group fund? Blah, blah, blah. But there is underlying that still this feeling of like, we don't need this shit. We could be happy on the coffee farm we start and make coffee and hang out. And that dream is real. And I think that this game definitely strikes that chord more than previous Animal Crossing games, because there isn't a town right there.
Yes.
Right?
The part that like kind of breaks that for me is the fact that Nook is like selling you on this thing, which makes it obvious. Like, to me, it kind of keeps reminding me of that thing that was going around, I think that was earlier this week, about Bhutan and how much, quote unquote, untapped resources were in that country, which fucking
untapped.
This idea of like, here's this beautiful wilderness that we need to use or change in some way. And just like something about the fact that you're building everything from the ground up versus the old style, like you were mentioning before, where you're coming to a place that's already established and like things aren't being built anymore. You're just kind of finding your space within here. You're the first wave.
You're
coming
here.
To fucking
how do we turn this and then
into,
get on this plane and go from island to island and get your resources.
Right.
Don't worry, they're all going to be there forever.
Yeah.
Right? And see, you're right. It is the other way. It is the other way, which is you get that fantasy of going to the untapped resource market and taking all those resources and turning them into
civilization.
We got to
take all of these things that are living on this island and put them in a museum.
Yeah. I did think it was very interesting that they phrased the building a house as optional, but everybody's going to be building a house.
I'm going to build a house immediately.
So in some ways, is this just revealing something that was always there in Animal Crossing, underlying
as a pretext.
Do you know what
but
I mean?
I still think that the general niceness of Animal Crossing defeats these like more cynical readings.
It's not even a cynical reading because, again, I know I'm going to have a good time with this game. I'm going to play this game and be like, look at my cool shirt. I'm so excited you can import all your pre-created new leaf fashions.
Oh my god!
You can make mug designs now.
You can make like that stuff.
About to fucking pull out my 3DS for the first time in years.
I know. It's like basically an Animal Crossing machine. That and Bravely Default. I just grind.
Oh,
I don't
god.
Finish that game. I just grind stuff because the combat's good. Anyway,
I do think that there is like I'm so excited to see, because we're going to review the game.
It's going to be a massive amount of creativity. I'm really excited for some of the social features that sort of follow the leader thing.
Oh, my God.
Seems very fun, especially because I know I'm going to be moving in with my boyfriend soon. And I want him to be able to experience this, but he doesn't play very many games. And, like, this is perfect now because I can just hand him a Joy-Con and be like, I'll go to the place.
Shake that tree, please. Then
you shake that tree and I'll dig up that fossil and then I'll show you how to do this so that you can do this on your own if you'd like to calm down. I don't think he'll like this game very much.
My wife plays two games, Pokemon and Animal Crossing.
That's
and
great.
We had to share the 3DS when we were playing New Leaf. And this is actually fucking perfect.
Yeah.
Now that you can play
You want
Couch
one
co-op.
Island, though?
Yes. She's not. That's the level of engagement she has, though. She's just coming through.
She's not the one
setting stuff up.
Yeah.
She'll come by every once in a while
to send letters. Right. And she's down to decorate her own home. But, like, I'm going to be the one, like, building paths and, like, knocking out cheese and shit.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's exactly what I'm envisioning. Where, like, so, yeah, David is always really interesting in the games I play and loves to be able to play games with me. But I'm expecting him to come by and be like, oh, this is cute. Don't really like it. Like every once in a while.
Yeah. Right.
And then be really nice to me by engaging in something that I really, 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 really love. And I'm going to be the one checking in multiple times per day. Actually, this is something that I'm really interested in. I found that the portable, you know, the 3DS was like the perfect way for me to understand how to engage with the game.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the time when you first start Animal Crossing, you want to start it like a normal game where you play for hours or at least more than 1 hour. By the time you do 1 hour or 1.5 hours in Animal Crossing, you either you're deep into a checklist or you've sort of just done everything on your checklist for the day.
Yeah. Right.
I'm interested. I haven't played a Animal Crossing on a TV since the GameCube version because there hasn't been one. I wonder how I'm going to end up playing this game because there are some games on Switch that are just definitely better on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
I played most of Breath of the Wild on the TV as opposed to on handheld.
Yeah.
I played Darkest Dungeon majority on my handheld. I do other Nintendo proprietary games where I'm just like handheld is just a better experience.
Yeah.
I do kind of wonder like the portability of Animal Crossing was the thing that made it very compelling for me when I had a longer commute. Mm-hmm. Or when I was working office jobs where I could sneakily check on my town in the bathroom or stuff like that. And I just, you know, is it going to look so good on the TV that it has to become this thing that becomes part of my morning routine with feeding the cat, doing the litter,
checking in
on Animal Crossing?
Yeah. Maybe. I bet it's going to look really good. Like, I still love the aesthetic. I think the customization looks better than ever, obviously. And I think just in general, the vibe is there. I'm glad there's seasons still. I was a little worried. Like, we're going to, like, a tropical island. Is it just going to be summer all day?
I like that there's a northern hemisphere and a southern hemisphere.
That's very clever. Are you doing northern or southern?
I'm going to stick with what it feels right.
Yeah,
you know,
too.
To be like, I get the idea. Right.
I get that some people might want the like, oh, it's cold in my real life. I want to go to a nice summery place.
Yeah.
But I think I want it to match.
Yeah, I like it when it matches. I really do. I feel like the classic Animal Crossing experience of seasons was another thing that made the first game so endearing to me that every time I checked in, it would match the advice. Like it just felt like a place where time was passing.
Do you think people are going to give you shit if you stop playing in the same way because you're not the mayor in this one compared to New Leaf?
Yeah, I'm curious about that.
So people give, not that people didn't give you shit. People give you real shit when you go back to the GameCube one. Yeah.
Oh, my God. They're so mad at you.
But I feel like, fuck off. You're living your life. You don't need to talk to me if I'm in my house.
You are on a beautiful, deserted island.
Right. Dude, live your life.
Have fun. You're on vacation.
You're on vacation.
I don't get that guilt trip.
I also feel a little weird about
Rossetti
being gone,
too. As the mayor,
I get it. Gone,
right. Wait, what'd you say?
I feel a little weird about Rossetti being gone, too.
Is Rossetti completely gone? Does he not have another different
job? Well, so you might be able to just restore your save. You can restore your save exactly one time if you lose it.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I posted
They're
this.
They're not
I put
using
this-
cloud saves.
No. What?
They have cloud saves available as a thing, but apparently it's like they're not using that system, and it's like we can help you recover something if should something go catastrophic, but no.
So there are cloud saves.
Apparently, but you can't access
not
them.
Yeah, okay.
So like
it seems like it must be a hassle to access them. Thusly, they're only going to do this once because they know that they have to offer this.
Hmm.
Rossetti is gone. Rossetti wasn't in the trailer. Or in this direct, and I feel like if he was not in this direct, we're probably not going to see him. I do.
They
like,
previously said that he was laid off.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, I.
What?
Yeah, sorry. this is from Project Lead.
Who employed him?
Officially announced that Mr. Rossetti lost his job at the Reset Surveillance Center due to the upcoming Switch titles new autosave feature. This is a story on Mashable written by Jess Joho. Shout out to Jess Joho, a real one. I think this will be a positive thing for the player because in New Horizons, you can stop playing in the middle of your game and it'll still save. But unfortunately, because there's no necessity to reset the game or reset button on the Switch, Mr. Rossetti had a hard time. He was laid off from his position.
Oh, poor baby.
We also believe that Mr. Rossetti is looking for a new job after his layoff, so please look forward to that.
Okay, we'll see him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I gotta know.
Yeah.
Do you think the pilot will be the Kappa guy?
No, they showed
Captain?
It.
Who
it's
is
like
it?
A bird.
Oh, you're right.
The pelicans?
I think so. No, the pelican was stranded on the beach, right?
Yeah.
Also, that's a thing. People would just like wash up on the beach.
Yeah, no one other than you gets this island willingly. Everyone else is stranded here.
When my brain went, that's the most wild. Dangerous game.
Yeah, like, that's Tom Nook collecting people. Kidnapping people and dropping them on this island.
And then dragging them into his company store to be like, help me develop this island and make it a resort destination.
Yeah, yep. Only 30,000 miles retroactively.
Hey, wait a second, motherfucker. Yeah. Wait a second. Who built the bridges? We built the bridges.
Yeah.
This is more of us than there are of you.
We built the bridges.
What
we built the museum.
Do? Timmy and Tommy scrapping my knees.
In a year, in 2021, when motherfuckers are coming to Garnet Island and are there to visit it and like hang out on its resort beaches, and Nook is taking a cut off that. Nook is going to get paid on all that.
Yeah.
You built the bridges.
Yeah.
Don't let this motherfucker do you like this.
Nook,
we could just build
money.
A commune on an island.
Yeah.
We could just go to an island and build a commune and figure something out. But instead.
It's truly the one part of the game that doesn't fit for me.
Fuck this guy.
You know, like.
Well, I don't mind it as a critique. I think it's funny.
It's funny, but it's like if you look at the rest of the ideology, like it's the reason why I don't like Mr. Rossetti leaving is that I like that the game kind of bullies you into playing, into engaging with it in the way that it is wants to be engaged with.
Yeah, Rossetti is that in a better way than Nook is, right?
Yes, exactly. I feel like Rossetti is a really, like the way that he makes you do like really real arduous tasks, like writing a letter, apologizing for resetting, it forces you not just to... Okay, no reset again. But to treat the town as a place where relationships are formed, people, your little animal friends actually live, and they are hurt by your actions, you know?
Right.
And Tom Nook does force you to play the game in the way that's meant to be played, which, like, the loan payoff thing is now just a huge part of that game, and they have to have that in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But his approach to... life in the country is so different from everybody else that shows up. Everybody else.
Right, no one else is like there to do that vibe.
No one else is there. Like Sneaks, you know, Kicks, the little guy that sells you socks.
Skunk?
He's Australian. That's all I know.
Yeah.
Shout out to Luke Plunkett. If you know, let me know.
Is he a chipmunk? No. Kicks is a Kicks Animal Crossing?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, yeah, you're right.
It's a skunk.
Who am I thinking of?
Kicks Animal Crossing is the new Sans Undertale.
Someone still has.
He's just there to talk about shoes mostly. If you would like some shoes, he will sell them to you. The gardening store, that also, like, that dude just really wants to talk about plants.
Who's the gardener? Who's the gardener?
It was really, really cute, though. I forgot. The Abel sisters, they either don't want to be bothered at all.
Right.
Or they are very happy to show you around and teach you how to make your own shit as well as selling you their shit.
Yeah.
And Tom Nook's the only one that was there and just like is about profit, is about profiting off of you, and does not buy into at all this aspect of community. Like the my favorite thing in the last game, this is a YouTube video about the communist aspects of Animal Crossing now, 3 hours long. The favorite part of the last game was the addition of the retail store and the two alpaca friends they allow you not only to buy things from the community,
mm-hmm.
they will make things for you and you pay them, you know, fairly for their labor. But you can sell things to other people in your town.
Yeah.
Things that you don't need and, you know, would like to make a little money off of maybe because they're expensive. But it's like it feels like you have to locally source, they don't buy things autonomously. You have to go in the store and tell them, you know, I think that would look great in your place and I think you should pick it up. And it feels like a return to this real, like you could live outside
you're
of the ecosystem
of
Tom Nook if you wanted to.
We could do it. I believe in us. Kick that motherfucker off the island. Build that island, then kick him off.
Yeah.
Or, okay, again, he could have a tent. I'm not.
Occupy Tom Nook.
All right. Well, any other thoughts on Animal Crossing New Horizons before we.
I want to fall asleep and wake up on March 20th. That's
I mean, this is the thing. It's like it's a literal month away as of the time we're recording this.
I'm like low key going to get I'm like thinking about it and I'm trying to convince myself that I don't want or need it, but I need at least those Joy-Con colors and the carrying case.
It's so good.
It's
one of the best Switches they've done. I seriously think so.
If you have a real need for this style of make work game, I will shout out that Rune Factory 4 Special is coming out, I want to say next week, which is an updated version of Rune Factory 4 from the 3DS. It's coming out on Switch next week. I can't speak to the Switch port of it, but it's out on the 25th, and Rune Factory 4 fucking kicks ass. If you have if you liked Stardew Valley, you should play Rune Factory 4.
I played a previous Rune Factory and I really liked it a lot, actually.
4 is really good. Yeah. There's lots of very cute characters that you can marry, and also dungeons you can go through, and also farms that you can farm.
You can
farm in the dungeons because the different dungeons have different, it's always winter in this dungeon. And so this means it's a place where you can go to farm your winter crops.
I need this. If you also need a fix really quick of just the sort of helping people aspect of it, the most recent Style Savvy game very much digs into you are building a relationship with the customers who come to your store.
Yeah.
If you don't think you like styling games, but do like checklist style games, make work style games, then I think you will really enjoy Style Savvy. Like, even if you don't get fashion, it will make you feel really good about your aesthetic tastes, no matter what.
They should put Style Savvy on Switch.
Nice. They should make a Style Savvy for Switch. They never will, but they should.
But they should.
God.
One day. One day when all of our Switches are, in a box somewhere, we've moved on two consoles away.
Yeah.
For the Nintendo, they'll put out a Style Savvy for Switch. I'll be like, what the fuck?
You know what I love is we're looping back into a PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2 nostalgia, finally.
True.
Which is that is where I feel very comfortable. Those are my nostalgia points, and I've been for a long time. GameCube nostalgia is creeping up on us. Think about how in 10 years, the first Switch nostalgia is going to hit. There's going to be kids that are like, yo, I just picked up this vintage, it's a retro console.
Fuck. Yes.
Just picked up a Switch.
That's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
We're getting older.
Oh, man. Every day. I'm excited for it, though.
I shared those videos. There was a TikTok of a dude coming home from work and being real sad. And then opening Netflix and seeing that five of his Call of Duty crew,
but it seemed like
we're all logged on, and then he joined the chat and everyone was like, yo, Kev is here.
It was actually so heartwarming though.
It's very
it just made me think about how men need to be more open with their friends and form lasting friendships because this was a person who got busy with work, the narrative of the story.
That is the narrative of the story. But and then this other person was busy at school and this person had a kid.
But they all said to each other, yo, man, I missed you.
Yes.
And I missed talking to you.
That's true. And there's the sad version of Fallen by Mustard is playing in the background. And it's just very funny. And then there was also the video of do you remember when Overwatch was good and every night you got on there and you just loved the game and all your friends were playing it? And it's very funny to me that 17 to 25 year olds are having this experience for the first time in their lives of
a game got too popular
and it left you behind and your life got too busy. You started having to pay rent and go to work in the morning and you're tired and it is it's like that, except now
it do be like that sometimes.
Except now that your social groups that you're separating from are your Discord crew. It's your TeamSpeak group.
Yeah.
It's a very fun and heartfelt time in the generational switch because I think this is the first generation of people who have those second level, real deep, vocal relationships with their online communities.
Right.
I definitely moved in and out of online communities my whole life. But it's a different thing. When I talk to my friends who play Destiny for the last 5 or 6 years, they have a crew of people whose voices they know intimately, who hung out with them. When I talk about playing MMOs for years, I have a crew of people who I played MMOs with, who I heard their voices, and who I haven't heard some of their voices in 8-9 years. Yeah. So it's interesting. It's interesting.
It is really interesting to sort of watch this recur. I feel we talk about experiences of video games as cyclical, as recurring, in ways that are irritating. But I think this one is really wholesome and nice. I think it's really nice.
Love your crew. Shout outs to your squad.
Tag your squad.
Hashtag tag your squad.
It feels like the types of games that those people would I had this with like TF2 back in the day.
Sure.
But like TF2 was never as big as Overwatch was, where like you would find a mix of people that you know in real life even would make those connections that way.
Yeah.
Like I never had like an online crew, but I did like know a couple of people in middle school that also had Pokemon and would bring their Game Boys to recess and stuff. And like that was just the default though. Those are my friends because they also had Game Boys. Like a lot of people that are older have like slightly more toxic experiences of these crews because they end up being like just the people who are around.
Yes.
And like maybe they know everything about you.
Yeah. Big, right.
Right.
Yeah, maybe they are like you have a deep relationship with them, mm-hmm. but maybe they're like not nice.
Maybe they're not. Totally.
Maybe they kind of suck.
Anything else we want to shout out before we wrap things up here?
Oh, the feature that I wrote about going to Fashion Week. I went to Fashion
Week.
Yeah, it's out yet. Is out finally.
Yes.
Went to Fashion Week, Covet Fashion, a sort of mobile competitive paper doll app game thing that I play. They were partnered with the designers Bagley Mishka. Mm-hmm. And I talked to James Bagley and I talked to the designers behind Bagley Mishka. Let's just do that. Let's just do that instead of me screwing it up. And the vice president of Covet and the president of Bagley Mishka and went to the runway show, Let Me Borrow a Dress. And it was a wild, wild experience that just sort of sent me through, got me in my feelings about fashion and the culture of beauty and like the commodification of feminism and communities of women that form around these aspects of culture. It was really fun, though. It was really wild, but it was really fun. I thought all the clothes were beautiful, also. That didn't really make it in the article.
There's some photos, though. There are some photos, both that you took and that other folks took. The dress that you wear is incredible.
Yeah.
There was a moment I had later where I was like, what if I just buy this from them? Because I wanted it so bad. You know, I was like, I already have a dress. I can't get it as a gift, obviously, but what if I just buy it? And then I looked at the sort of tag that they had on the inside of the dress, and it said price range $220 to $400. And I was like, okay, well, not buying it.
Not going to buy that.
But it was like getting for a day to be the kind of person that when my mom watched a Bravo show would say, is your life like that? Getting to actually do that for one day.
Right. It's being like, yeah, that's right. That's it. This is what it means
My mom is
a journalist in New York City.
My mom, when I interned in Art Gallery, a DIY nonprofit space, so like you know what those places are like. Mm-hmm. My mom was watching the television show Gallery Girls on Bravo, and she was like, "Is this what your life is like?" And I'm like, "Absolutely not.
No.
No one buys anything at this gallery."
God. All right, Kata, do you have anything else you want to shout out, game wise, site wise?
Not that I can think of.
All right. Well.
What about just being nice?
What about just be nice?
Oh, there was a cutscene in Destiny.
What?
Osiris yelled at the Warmind Rasputin.
Oh shit, that's like crossover fic.
Yeah.
It
was extremely old man yells at Cloud.
Okay.
He was very angry.
Wait, which one was the old man? Because they're both kind of they both are.
Osiris is the old man being like, what side are you on? Light or dark? Fucking pick. And then it cuts. So
who knows?
We're getting that. That's probably like the next season.
Is going to be
refocus on
those two characters.
Yeah,
it's cool that they picked the characters from the bad expansions to talk to each other.
Right? They're like, it's like, oh yeah, we have these characters that people didn't really
connect to that first time.
Yeah,
let's give it another go.
Let's try it one more time. I almost opened Destiny a couple nights ago.
Wow.
I was like, damn, it's right here. I could just hit the button.
You should just hit that button.
It was actually last night because instead I opened up No Man's Sky because there was that.
Oh my God.
I want to just start. I'm going to end up starting a new game again.
Right.
Like I think starting from over, if you haven't played in a while, actually is the way to go.
I have two 30-hour saves on PC alone.
Yeah, that.
And there's also a deleted 24-hour save on PC. And then my PS4 save is also like 20 hours.
There's so many things to learn that unless you're already deeply familiar with the game and can identify the changes.
Right.
Yeah.
It's I was able to. So the last time I really, really played was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
When Next hit.
Really good.
But I didn't get the most. Beyond was Beyond the most recent one?
Beyond is Singularity, which was sort of a smaller.
Right.
And then
there have been other
the
smaller.
Most recent, and this one is, I think, specifically about a specific thing, which is also smaller than Beyond was.
And they announced that this new thing is like going to be, they're going to just start doing basically it's so funny to me because I actually saw this stuff and saw the way that Sean Murray was talking about it and it felt like reading about a Sims stuff pack a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it was like, hey, there's new ships And it's like, oh, yeah, there's just new ships.
Sean Murray told me that he plays The Sims and has hundreds of hours in The Sims. And I feel like, you know, when I talk to Grant Rodiak, who I also have an interview up. Producer, senior producer Grant Rodiak on The Sims talked to me for the 20th anniversary. You should check that out. That I went up to today, which means yesterday when you're listening to this. And he was talking to me about, like, how great it is that they're able to sort of on the fly add these little quality of life improvements or new features or, like, a new career in the same way that I think that the No Man's Sky sort of settling into this sort of cycle, except No Man's Sky, all the things that they do are free because of all the bad will that they're still trying to make up for.
I think we'll see it. I think 2020, maybe we get... No, can't do it. I can't. No. I was going to say paid DLC for it, but no. Maybe they'll just announce another project. Or they already did announce another project. That'll come out sometime in 2020, 2021.
I think the most paid thing we'll get will be like a cosmetic. I think it'll be like a cheap cosmetic.
Is that stuff in yet? Or
they
no?
already have cosmetics in there.
But it's all in-game.
It's all in-game currency. Okay. You don't have to pay real money for it.
Okay. This new thing, the way it rolled out was fucking incredible because... Yeah. So the way it sounds like is... Was it in the regular game that the void eggs started being weird, or was that in the experiment?
In the regular game, if you picked up a void egg, which was a resource that you could pick up that could sell for like some money, but like wasn't super valuable. There were versions of these void eggs that were really valuable, and egg farming became this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Super fun because they added like an actual enemy to make egg farming, you know, give it some tension. So it became this like sort of the community had a lot of fun figuring out how to get eggs and get lots of money without getting killed. But now if you pick one up and sort of put one in your ship or your shelter, it would start whispering to you.
Right.
And that led players through sort of an ARG, like to coordinates in the game that they could decipher the whisper.
Right.
Then...
Well, then they put out the experimental patch. Like, there's always just, like, an experimental branch of the game available on Steam that you can download. And people who downloaded that were like, hey, what the fuck is going on? Because it was, like, basically a night on Twitter where I was up late, and people were just like, there's weird alien shit. Someone? Mods? is this allowed?
Someone help us.
Yeah, and then the next day... This patch hit the whole thing.
Yeah, they dropped the trailer. It was gorgeous.
And it's like big organic spaceships. It's like it's like
you can build a you can raise a baby ship from a void egg. Yeah,
They're so gross looking. I'm happy because it means they're broadening out the aesthetic space.
We have now moved past quality of life fixes and adding the stuff that people expected and moved into the unexpected, which is like a whole new era for this game.
It's even just, there's other cool stuff that got added that even with me just dipping back in really quick, I got to see some of it, which is like NPCs in space and not just in space, like not just in the stations, but like
you'll be flying around.
You'll be flying around. Like someone stopped me and was like, hey, do you want to trade? I have good deals on blah, blah, blah.
Huh.
And like, it's so good. And then also just like, big weird space derelicts and strange, you know, growths floating in the middle of asteroid fields and, you know, animal bones floating in space, like giant space dragon.
This was something that people have asked for in terms of aesthetics of the game to make space more busy. I do see some people lamenting the sort of loss of the quietness of the first iteration of No Man's Sky. I feel like you can still get that, though.
You have
to look for it now, which is disappointing.
This is part of why I want to start a new save, is because I'm curious how the multiplayer stuff feels with as a new player coming in. And it's like, I won't be able to feel that 100%. Obviously, it's not like a one-to-one thing where I can just like snap my fingers and have that like... experience of needing to learn all the systems again, because at this point, having played Next, I even kind of know the basics of getting your like your generator set up and your the thing that refines all your minerals and blah blah blah. Like I get that loop enough now, but what is new is very much like you can summon the anomaly whenever you want now and go there, and that's a multiplayer space, and there's all sorts of new progression systems built into showing your data to people there, and you know they're doing missions as a group now is easier and blah 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 blah, and all that stuff is different than that first month or two of No Man's Sky, where no one really knew what the progression looked like. People understood basic formulas of how to build stuff, but or like how to like you know keep your suit going and how to keep your ship going. But there was a real feeling of complete emptiness that was like really calming for me.
Yes.
It was a calmer game.
Yes.
To talk about what Patrick said earlier about Animal Crossing versus was it you who said that it stressed people out? It was you.
Yeah, Animal Crossing does stress people out.
Yeah. And for me, the fact that it was like, okay, I'm only focused in No Man's Sky on like exploring, staying alive, upgrading my stuff was very calming and just like taking things in.
Meditative.
Very meditative.
Right.
There's so much more activity here and there are so many more goals that I think it is. I still like this game a whole bunch.
Yeah.
This game was on my top 10 list 3 years in a row.
Yeah. Like,
it is what it is.
Yeah.
But I definitely do feel a little bit more activity. I'm curious if I started over, if I could find a niche to play in a way that gave me back that original.
A lot of the social stuff that doesn't come from NPCs that comes from real people, you have to be in places where there are people to experience that.
Yeah.
You can very happily and easily, especially if you're starting over, play the game and still get that sort of meditative experience where you are only focused on getting resources, upgrading things, exploring, and staying alive.
Yeah.
In fact, I still feel like most of the game is still that. It's just that they've made the world feel alive, not put you in proximity of more players. They're not trying to force you to socialize, but they're trying to be like, okay, you are a traveler amongst lots of different travelers. This is space that has already been, the word again, colonized in some way. This is an existing infrastructure of different races that interact, and you are a part of that ecosystem. And in other parts of the galaxy, there are other travelers like you that you can talk to and build like real life bonds of like two humans together. But for most of space, like maybe someone will call you up and try to, you know, maybe you'll have a random event every time you warp to a new system. But that's pretty much it. As soon as you land and try, like it's still up to you. It's still like one of those checklist games.
Yeah, I think I'm going to, maybe this weekend, I'm going to take some time and be like, you know what?
Those opening hours, every time they redo the tutorial, it gets better.
That's true. Which is just like, I'm glad they've been able to iterate on it. I'm glad that they've been able to keep coming back to it.
Yeah.
All right. That is going to do it for us today here at Waypoint Radio. This week is over. I think next week we're finally going to try to release, hopefully.
Yeah.
Patrick got sick is what happened.
Yes.
We haven't done our Outer Wilds spoiler cast yet, but look forward to that coming sometime soon.
Send in questions.
Send in questions. gaming@vice.com. Put Outer Wilds in the subject so I can easily pull those out. You can find me on Twitter at Austin_Walker. Where can people find you, Gita?
At XOXOGossipGita on Twitter and also on Instagram. I'm liking my Instagram recently.
Good.
Nice. Nice place to post pictures of my cat.
Hell yeah. Very beautiful cat.
Dude, I love her.
Kato.
At @A_Kato_appears.
And as always, you can follow Waypoint, twitter.com/Waypoint. You should follow Motherboard also, twitter.com/Motherboard. Some incredible work as always. Recently there. What else? Shout out to Bowen for letting us use the track Miss You off the EP Pale Machine. Find out more about that at waypoint.zone/BOEN. That's going to do it. I'll say it one more time as we go into I guess by the time we record again, Nevada will have happened. Nevada's almost already happened because of how much early voting there was.
Saturday. Right.
But Saturday is the caucus day.
Listen, feel good about going forward.
That's right.
Going forward. Just think about
going forward.
We're not going back to the day.
We are not going back.
Where people had to hide in fear.
We're going forward to the day where you can say, fuck capitalism.
Yes.
Go home.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Shout out to that person who fucking made a fuck capitalism go home jacket. I saw that shit. That shit looked
dope.
Oh,
yeah.
Hell
that
yeah.
Looks so good. Fuck thank yes. you for
that
making
rocks.
That. All right. Bye, bye, bye.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Otherwise, yeah, I can always play some visual novels on my phone while y'all talk about something
wow,
else.
Wow. Incredible. Powerful. Good.
I re-downloaded Mystic Messenger.
Nice. Good. I hear it's still good.
I hear the new events are really great. So
really?
I wanted to check
okay.
that. Yeah. They kept
Allie's
adding to
the
game.
Allie's the only one I know who's still playing it, but that's
so
how Amanda Cosmos is still
so
playing
it. Re-downloaded it the other day.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I think it's
clicks
about to go through the sex gremlins are like about to all play it again.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, Arden also downloaded it.
Perfect.
So.
And then Kato Corruption and what else? You had something else, right?
We never.
Oh,
said words on the podcast about Wide Ocean Blue Jacket.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
You can point to Patrick's review.
Sounds good. Boom. Uh-huh.
I love that the things that help me relax are the exact things that cause so many other people a deep sense of anxiety.
Like?
Animal Crossing. I was just thinking about that. Because it's like, it's an endless checklist.
Animal Crossing doesn't give me anxiety. I just don't want
I
to
wasn't
do...
talking shit about you, Patrick.
This is not, this song is not about you.
God.
Who gets anxiety from Animal Crossing?
I've heard it from people. Like, it's just never ending. They feel
right.
like they can never please anybody.
Well, that's just life. Then they got problems in Animal Crossing where you got concrete goals. And I don't know how they're dealing.
So
the rest of life has
yeah.
got. They're just revealing a window.
Can you imagine living in a wonderful world where a motherfucker will just be like, yeah, you want a house? Here it is. Pay me back as it comes. Like, my loan situation would be way different if
I
could
really
pay back
talk
loans.
About debt
me either.
For the rest
me
of my
either.
Life.
Let's talk about politics now.
I always do God. That really loud laugh right into the microphone.
You're good.
I'm going to help. I don't want to hurt anybody.
I appreciate it. We can't talk about that Picross game yet, right? I think that's not until March.
March 6th. Yeah.
The game's cool. I played the first chapter.
Oh, nice.
You cut this. You can't put this in the
no,
thing now. Sorry. I shouldn't have responded. I didn't say which Picross game. Maybe
no.
we're talking about some random ass phone.
There's a lot of Picross games out
there.
Nobody
knows. All right.
And it turns out I don't like Picross unless it's 3D Picross, is what I've
really.
I've
that's
tried
interesting.
So many times.
Huh.
I love Nintendo's 3D Picross games for the DS, and I did the one for the 3DS, but I.
Is it
like,
just you can't do it? Or.
No, I can. Like, I get the math, like, but it's just not nearly. Like, the first Picross game I played
was
the
Picross 3D.
Picross 3D yeah. or whatever they call that series. And the idea of like chiseling away and making a sculpture
right.
just became, oh, that's Picross to me. And then I've tried to do these flat, boring ass 2D
oh
images.
God.
I'm like,
wow.
no. Like, I want nothing to do with this. But Nintendo makes
God
one of those
damn.
Like every 7 years.
You were that thread that was on Reset Era the other day that was like, why do people still use pixel art? Why would anyone use pixel art in 2020?
Oh, fuck you.
Fuck, excuse me?
It was a thread last
what?
Week on Reset Era that was killed me.
Yo, they say some wild shit on that forum.
They be saying wild shit on that forum. It's
did,
so funny.
I did do a vanity search, and I'm not exactly proud to admit that.
Okay.
But I was stoned and I was taking a dump, and those are the
yes.
two things.
Yes.
Those are the criteria
for
that
name
you
searching.
Have to meet for name
yeah,
searching.
At that point, anything goes.
Yeah,
one of the features on iOS, it's like you put it, it's like only allow
only,
me to name
yes.
search if I meet this criteria.
Yep.
The microphone's detecting some activity. It's like, cool, you're unlocked. You may now
absolutely.
Name search.
All right. Let's do a clap real quick. Wow, it is World Day of Social Justice today.
Oh, shit.
Says time.is.
Oh, finally.
Oh, boy. All right. 23?
Wait 1 second.
Sure.
You don't need to clap.
I don't need to clap? Okay, you just clap.
I missed it because I was talking to Gita.
I'm sorry.
30. Only one person on this side has to clap.
I see. So it. I just like clapping.
I'm sorry. I should have let you clap. Next time.
Let's all just clap
we can
for
all
everyone
just do
in
a
the
clap.
Room.
That's applause. All
God.
Right.
That's how the rain
light,
shows
light
up in the flower book I read to Jessica.
God.
Social justice, everybody.
Social justice. We did it. We did not do
we
it.
We did?
No. Narrator voice. They did not.
We got them.
God. All right.